y'all, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Mr. Jim Hughes is on the show today, and he's going to talk about reconnecting in a marriage after a period of incarceration. He's got an excellent book called The See-Through Marriage. I think you're going to enjoy this show. There's a lot of great information here. You want to be sure and stay tuned. We got Mr. Jim Hughes coming up right after this on The Journey of Hope. Again. Hey, be sure you drop me a line. Let me know how you're doing, okay? You can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Hi, everybody, and welcome back. My special guest today is Jim Hughes. Jim has written a book called See-Through Marriage, and I think you're going to find that there's some excellent advice for men and women who are coming home from incarceration in this book. Jim, how are you?
Well, thank you very much. It's a joy to be with you.
Well, why don't you give us a little background about yourself and how you came to write a book like this?
Well, first of all, I never intended to write a book. The book just kind of evolved over a period of years of ministry. The Lord sat me down when it all began to really come together, and I just started writing, and He took it from there. My background is I've been married for 38 years, my lovely wife, Jan. I've been in the ministry for about 40 years. So out of those two experiences of life, the book came into existence.
Now, Jim, some marriages survive the lockdown part of an incarceration, but it's been my experience from people that I know, this is no scientific poll or anything, it's just that I've seen marriages fail once the offender comes home. What kind of advice do you have on successful ways to reconnect?
I believe that no matter the experience of life, basics are the basics, and it's all relational, how we relate to one another. It's taking the bull by the horn, being responsible for how we relate ourselves to our spouses, treating them with respect, treating them with love, working on building the relationship stronger with each passing day. And I emphasize that word work, because I think in a lot of marriages, we don't work at it. We assume it's going to continue to be what it has been. We assume that it's going to always be there. We take our faults for granted. And when we do that, we run into trouble. It takes work. Two people coming from two different experiences of life, running their lives together to become one, takes an enormous amount of energy and effort. And if incarceration is part of the experience of life, it intensifies the need for work. You have to really focus on those things that build a strong relationship. And obviously, I come at it from the standpoint of Christ being number one. If Christ is not in control of the heart, then the heart is going to have a lot of problems relating properly to the spouse. Church is important. And then from there, we go into a broad range of areas that need to be worked on by every couple. I identify 48 different areas in my book, just common everything, everyday things that every couple faces, especially as Christian couples. Every chapter begins with C. And it deals with, well, clemency for one, being able to forgive, communication, being able to talk, commitment. Commitment's a big one these days.
You mentioned clemency and forgiveness. Let's talk about that for a second and the importance of that for an ex-offender as they return home and try to put, you know, any kind of anger issues that they have behind them.
Okay. I'm going to come at from this standpoint. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, and it's out of a different emphasis that he's speaking, but he said, putting those things behind me, and he's talking about all the good of the world, the accomplishments of the world, but putting those things behind me, I press onward, press forward to obtain Christ. And from that perspective, I believe that no matter the anger issues, no matter the things that disappoint us about our spouses, no matter how we may think that we've been wrong, we need to be able to put those things in the past and push forward. We can't undo the past. We can forgive our spouses for the past, and in Christ, that is what we need to be doing, because that's what he does for us. He forgives us, and then he has the capability of forgetting our past. Now, we can't always forget, but if we truly want to maintain a proper relationship with Christ, with our spouse, then we must, in Christ, forgive our spouse. That's a loving thing to do. The chapter, well, I've got three chapters on charity, which is love. And it's beneficial there, based on God's love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But we need to be able to just say, honey, I forgive you. Sometimes it may be verbal, sometimes it may be not. But in Christ, we can do all things.
I want to switch gears here with kind of just a general question. Why is it that divorce is so prevalent? I mean, why is it so common for people to have a couple of marriages under their belt?
Well, I think, you know, the simplistic answer would be sin. I think, realistically, practically, one thing is, going back to that word, work, we do not put our energy, our hearts into the relationship that we have, we have in our mindset as a whole in culture and in the church, that there's loopholes. That if this relationship doesn't work, so what? We'll move on. We'll put behind us, move on to the next one. When we say our vows, there is a phrase in there that I think is so critical as to whether or not our relationship, our marriage is going to succeed. And that is a commitment unto death do us part.
Mm-hmm.
These days, we may mouth the word, but we really don't mean it. We're not committed to making our marriages work,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. And I recognize, you know, that sometimes sin interferes with that. Sometimes we believe the lies of Satan. We believe that, you know, this marriage cannot be saved. We believe that there's, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is, if both the husband and the wife from the get-go are meaning what they say, if they have integrity of heart before God, mm-hmm. to make their vows, to make that covenant relationship a priority, they will find a way to work through the difficulties of life.
So there's really no justifiable reason for divorce, is there?
It's not.
Okay.
It happens. I mean, but I don't believe it's justifiable if you really mean what you say when you stand before God and before your man and make a commitment for a lifetime of commitment. I don't believe that it's an excuse. In essence, what it's saying is, I don't want work on this anymore.
Exactly.
I don't think you are worth the effort anymore. And, you know, when you open up that mindset, you don't have any hope of saving your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
We have forgotten how to see the good, see the beauty in our spouses. We take them for granted.
Mm-hmm.
When coming out of prison, I don't believe that we should have unrealistic expectations. Separation creates its own set of problems that have to be worked through. It doubles the energy that you have to put into the relationship from both spouses. No, it's not a one-way street. Man can't do it. The woman can't do it. Together, they have to work to make it work. And if they're willing to do that, then any marriage can survive.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, more with Jim Hughes right after this on The Journey of Hope. Hey, y'all. I know a lot of you out there have taken up playing music to be productive with your downtime. That's what I've been doing, and I'm not very good at it, but one of the things that's really helped me is something that I want to tell you about. It's called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and the Jam Buddy Chord Chart is the Nashville numbering system, and what it does is it helps you play any songs that you know. You can transpose them into a different key absolutely immediately if you know this numbering system. This is an excellent way to learn music. And the way you find one of these is you go to angiesbanjo.com. That's angiesbanjo.com. And you click on the link for the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and you're going to get a free one-page sample. It's an ebook, and you can check it out and see if it's something that you can use. And I guarantee you, you're going to like it, and you're going to want to get it. It's called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. You find it at angiesbanjo.com. It's the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. And welcome back to the Journey of Hope. Our special guest today is Jim Hughes. We're having discussion about his book, The See-Through Marriage. And Jim, one of the things you mention is that we work at our marriage, that we need to work at our marriage. What do we mean by working at our marriage? What kinds of things are you talking about there?
Well, the list is endless. It's just the everyday living out of life with another person. Mm-hmm. It's taking responsibility, number one, for ourselves, our personal relationship with Christ, our moral integrity, the whole package of who we are as individuals. We can't be slobs. We have to work at self-improvement. Mm-hmm. I've got one chapter in there on chastity, which offers 27 different warning signs that we may be heading down towards moral failure.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things, not taking the easy way out, but working on keeping ourselves to be the men and the women that we profess to be. So working at that, respecting our spouse. I've got a chapter in there on chivalry, is the word I was trying to think of. Treating our spouse with kindness, tenderness, as men, opening doors for our spouses.
Exactly.
It's almost a lost art.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, making our spouse feel like she is someone special.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that takes work. It takes effort. It takes thought. Charity. I mentioned that earlier. That's love. Working at loving our spouse as we are loved by Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge one. Communication. As men, so often what we like to do is give me my remote control, my easy chair, football game.
Guilty, guilty.
And, yeah, and I'm guilty. Most of us are.
Uh-huh.
We like to do our thing, but sometimes we have to get out of our comfort and talk and show and communicate to our spouse that they are important. So it's just the practical stuff of everyday living that so oftentimes we get lazy on. And those are the things that I think that we need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
If we work on them, then we are showing our spouse that they are important, that we want to make their life more pleasurable, and the rewards are just endless. I believe that if we did our work, if we worked on our marriage, then the divorce rate would be so minimal, it would almost be non-issue.
Yeah, well, I didn't come straight home. I had an apartment for a while before I moved back in to the house. People that have been incarcerated for, you know, a number of years, would you recommend that sort of thing? Is that a good thing to do? It worked for us.
Well, if it works for you, then it's the right idea. Not every couple is ready to just take up house upon release.
Mm-hmm.
There are issues that need to be dealt with that are unique to being incarcerated, both from the one who has been incarcerated and the one who hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
There are some real issues that, regardless whether or not you are separated for a period of time, that have to be worked through.
Right.
And you know that from your own experience.
Correct.
There are things that you have to talk about. There are things that you have to come to agreement on. There are things that you have to, in essence, no matter how long you've been married, you have to rebuild that relationship. You have to woo and court your spouse. You have to communicate clearly to your spouse that you want a relationship. And you know, you don't do that just by coming home and pretending like nothing ever happened.
No, you can't do
it
that.
It did happen.
We're getting kind of close on time here, Jim. A couple other things I wanted to address with you. One of them had to do with arguing. All couples argue. What advice would you have about how to do that effectively so that you're getting your point across and you're listening to the other person? What kinds of advice do you have about married couples arguing?
Every couple argues. I've been married 38 years. We still have our moment. There are times in which my wife has to tell me, go read your book. So, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect relationship.
No.
Because we're human beings, we're going to have differences of opinion. But there's a cliche that I think probably works rather well when arguments come. You express your opinions, but then you have to come to a point where you agree to disagree agreeably. Mm-hmm. And I think that works. Especially if we want to do it right in Christ's eyes. Love would tell us, I don't have to have my way. I don't have to be right all the time. There are times in which I am wrong and I have to admit it. There are times in which I'm right and I can't back down. But if I am convinced that I'm right, then I agree to disagree agreeably. Mm-hmm. I don't get violent. I don't rant and rave and shout. Together we discuss things, and if emotions begin to take over, we recognize the sign and we walk away until we're under control. Because if we argue emotionally, what's going to happen?
It's going to blow up.
Say things. yeah, fireworks.
That's right.
We're going to say things that we regret. We're going to say things that's going to be hurtful. It may escalate, because sometimes when we are emotionally charged, we lose control. Mm-hmm. And self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's one of those things that when we are in Christ, we gain control. Mm-hmm. So no, we have to take responsibility for our behavior. Sometimes, if our spouse is obviously out of control, then we have to be the one to take control, walk away from the situation until emotions can cool down, and we can go back into a discussion. And that discussion may simply be, honey, we don't see eye to eye. And I agree, we disagree with you, agreed.
The book is called A See-Through Marriage. The author is Jim Hughes, and I recommend the book. Jim has got a lot of great ideas for ex-offenders that are coming home and looking to reconnect with their spouse. Jim, I want to thank you so much for being here today on The Journey of Hope.
Hey, it's been a privilege.
We're going to take a short break. We've got more right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Stay tuned next week. We've got Barbara Jarecki on the program, and you want to be sure and stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up next week right here on The Journey of Hope. Well, our time is gone again. I want to thank our special guest, Mr. Jim Hughes, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.